lately in our world. There's been a lot going on. And a lot of people, especially around here, have been having some really bad times, a bad week. And I wanted to kind of address that today from Scripture. So I hope that as we go through this today, that you will be encouraged, that you'll be able to encourage others, and that you will have maybe a little different outlook on life. The Scripture today comes from Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And it says this, it's the King James Version. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and certain men of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Quite a sad story. But as we go throughout our talk today, I hope that you'll find that it's an encouraging story as well. Let's bow our heads together. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll be with us as we talk this morning. As we open your word and study your word, I pray that there will be something that touches the hearts of each one of us and draws us to Jesus. And I ask it in his name. Amen. So we all know that story of Ruth, how her husband died and her sons died. The name Naomi means sweet and pleasant and beautiful. But when Naomi got back to Israel after her husband and her two sons died, she said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara." And Mara means bitterness. If you remember the children of Israel, they were wandering in the wilderness. They stopped at place where the water was bitter, and they called that place Mara, which means bitterness, as I said. So Naomi had a bitter experience, but Naomi learned something through this whole process. Her daughter-in-law, Ruth, went with her. She refused to stay behind, and she went back to Israel with Naomi. And Naomi was, I'm sure, very glad to at least have companionship. And through Ruth, though, something wonderful happened. That kinsman redeemer came into their lives, and he was able to make everything all right. Boaz was a wealthy man in the area and was one of the nearest of kin to Naomi, and ended up marrying Ruth and thus taking care of Naomi. And Naomi learned that even when everything looks all wrong, God can make it all right. And that's the title of our talk today, When It's All Wrong, It's All Right. You know, every one of us has bad days now and then. And when we look at what's going wrong, what do we do? When everything is going wrong, what do we do? How do we as Christians react when we have a bad day? What do we do? Why do Christians have bad days? Well, let's go to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 11. Job chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, please just turn with me. We all know the story of Job, and Job had some really bad days. Or a really bad day that began the rest of his bad days. Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for nothing? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. So we ask the question, why do Christians have bad days? Well, the answer is right there in the book of Job. It said that Job had a bad day because of the devil. It wasn't God. It wasn't something God did to him. It was something that the devil did to him. And let's see how Job responded. Let's go to Job chapter 13. Again, turn in your Bibles, if you will. Job chapter 13 and verse 15. This was Job's response to everything that was happening with him. You remember he had some friends, so-called friends, come and try to comfort him, and actually they were accusing him of sinning, and that's why God was punishing him. But Job had a response not only to them, but a response to the devil himself. And he says here in Job 13 and verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Job had faith in God, no matter what happened in his life. Why did Job have that kind of faith? Well, Job didn't just all of a sudden have that faith. Job had an experience with God. He'd been walking with God for many years. And Job knew that even when things go wrong, when things look like they're all wrong, it's still going to be all right. And we know that Job's bad day came to an end, and God blessed him for his faithfulness. Then we have another story of some people who had a bad day. That's found in the book of Daniel. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Daniel chapter 3. And I'm sure you probably have an idea where this is going. Daniel chapter 3. Now, we could talk about several things in the book of Daniel, but we're going to talk about this one particular story. Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel 3, beginning in verse 4, then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, these men were leaders in the kingdom of Babylon, where they were living at the time, as captives, but still they were leaders in the Babylonian government. And I'm sure that they expected this event. They knew it was coming. And they knew that they had a bad day coming. And I'm sure there were some, what you might consider bad days. They say anticipation is the worst part of it. And there may have been some bad days anticipating all of this, but they knew it was coming. But what did they do? Did they stay home? No, they didn't stay home. They went as they were told to go. Now, let's go down to verses 12 through 14 in Daniel chapter 3. Beginning in verse 12, it says, there are certain Jews, these are some of the other leaders there, who are dropping a dime, if you will, on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They say, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Well, that was a pretty bad day, wouldn't you say? They're called before the king, and the king is dressing them down, giving them what for, about, you know, are they not going to do what he's told them to do? After all, they're leaders in his kingdom. How could leaders in his kingdom not follow his orders? Well, their bad day was about to get worse. Let's go to verse 16, verses 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are answering the king, and they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And you know the rest of the story. Their bad day became a very bad day. They knew, though, and they trusted in God. They knew that no matter how bad things seemed, that God would be with them. And you know the story. When they cast them into the furnace, the men that cast them in were killed by the heat of the flames. And the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were walking around in the flames. They saw three men in there. No, they saw four men in there walking around, seemingly unhurt by those flames. And Nebuchadnezzar called them out. And he said that the one that was in there with them looked like the Son of God. We know the Son of God is Jesus, right? And Jesus goes through all of our struggles, all of our trials with us, just as he did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that when things were all wrong, it was still going to be all right because Jesus was in the fire with them. There's another fellow that had some bad days. We're going to look at one of those. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And we are going to look at verses 22 through 25. You know, Paul had a lot of experiences that could be considered bad days. And this is probably close to one of the worst of those. Acts 16, beginning in verse 22. It says, And the multitude rose up together against them, talking about Paul and his friends. Now the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now they were down in the deepest part of the prison to keep them from escaping. Verse 25, And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, Paul and Silas had been thrown into prison in the deepest, darkest dungeon part of the prison to keep them from escaping. And they had been beaten, as it said, with many stripes. But yet here is Paul and Silas in that deepest, darkest part of the prison, singing. And I'm sure that their backs were hurting, they were in pain, but yet here they are singing. How are they singing after such a bad day? Well, but that wasn't all. Then there was an earthquake, and the whole prison shook. And the doors broke open, and a lot of those prisoners probably thought, this is the best day I've had. But for Paul and Silas, they're there in the middle of this prison, and it's crumbling around them. But yet God preserved them, not only them, but all of the prisoners in that prison. And because of Paul and Silas's singing and their witness for the Lord, all of those prisoners were still there. None of them escaped. None of them left, even though they could have. And Paul and Silas had faith. They knew that when everything is going wrong, it's still going to be all right. And God brought victory out of apparent defeat that day. The Philippian jailer came to them and found that the jail was broken open, and he thought the prisoners were gone. In those days, if they let a prisoner escape, it was their life. And he was about to fall on his sword and commit suicide. When Paul told him, no, don't. We're all here. Every single one of us, we're here. And that Philippian jailer asked him, Sir, what must I do to be saved? And Paul was able, and Silas were able to witness to him and tell him about Jesus. and everything that was all wrong became all right. And there's another story. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. And this is someone else who had a very bad day. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 36. This is a portion of the life of Jesus, some of the last hours of his life. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Jesus at this point knew he was going to face the cross. He knew what was coming. And he took his closest disciples, those who he felt closest to, and took them to pray with him. And as he prayed, he got back up to go in and have a little bit of human compassion as well. They were sleeping. And this happened not only one time, this happened three times. Three times he asked them to pray, went and prayed himself, came back and found them sleeping. It was beginning to be a very bad day for Jesus. Let's look at verses 47 through 49. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Jesus here is betrayed by a friend. Someone that walked with him for three and a half years, who heard all of his teachings, someone that was thought to be one of his closest followers. Jesus was betrayed by his friend, and his bad day was getting worse. And to top it all off, when Judas betrayed Jesus, and they came to take Jesus, Peter had told Jesus, I'll die with you. And Peter came and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. And Jesus healed it. And at that point, every single one of his disciples fled. They ran. They were afraid that they would be next. And they ran and they deserted Jesus. Jesus' bad day was getting even worse. And then came his trial before the high priest. Let's go to verse 67. Then did they spit in his face, and buffeted him, or struck him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. Jesus was going through this time basically alone, physically alone. His father was with him, yes, but his bad day was getting a very bad day. Let's go to chapter 27 and pick up in verse 21. Matthew 27, beginning of verse 21. This is his trial before Pilate. Then the governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said to him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. Jesus' bad day, his very bad day, was getting even worse. His bad day, his very bad day, was becoming a terrible day. Drop down to verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Verse 29. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Not only were they giving him physical pain. Jesus had already had mental pain, now physical pain. Now they're mocking him. They're making fun of him. This terrible day, could it be any worse? Verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. You know, we see Jesus on the cross, and he's pictured there with a little cloth around his hips. But when they crucified someone, it was more than just the physical humiliation, the physical pain. It was a mental and spiritual humiliation as well, especially for the Jews, because to be naked for the Jews was something that was a spiritual issue. And here's Jesus, totally exposed, totally naked on that cross. And there was other things that were going on there too. Let's drop down to verses 41 and 42. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. So Jesus here is hanging on the cross. A terrible day. A terrible day for him. Now they're not only mocking him at his trial and scourging him, but they're mocking him while he's hanging on the cross. It seemed that it was just about as bad as it could be. They're mocking Jesus at the worst point of his life. Verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Jesus died. His bad day, his terrible day, the worst day of his life had come to an end. But he knew, as he hung on that cross and as he died, he knew that even though everything looked like it was going all wrong, it was still going to be all right. Matthew 28, verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Jesus was resurrected. That terrible day, that worst day of his life, came to an end. But there was more to come. Not another terrible day, but the greatest day that has ever happened in the history of this world. When you hope in Jesus, that feeling that everything is all wrong, you can feel that everything is now all right. When you're having a bad day, Jesus knows what it's like. When you're having a terrible day, Jesus knows what it's like. When you are having the worst day of your life, Jesus knows what it's like. Jesus pleads with you. Give him your bad days. Give him your terrible days. Give him even your good days. And if you do, you'll find that that bad day, that terrible day, when it seems like it's all wrong, it will be all right. You know, there's a song that I remembered this morning, and it fits very well with the situation of many of us today. It's called For Those Tears I Died. And these are the words. You said you'd come and share all my sorrow. You said you'd be there for all my tomorrow. I came so close to sending you away. But just like you promised, You came here to stay. I just had to pray. And Jesus said, come to the waters. Stand by my side. I know you're thirsty. You won't be denied. I saw every teardrop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. When you have that bad day, remember, Jesus died for your tears. And someday he's going to make everything all right. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, when we have those bad days, those terrible days, we can't seem to see past what's going on in our lives right now. Lord, give us a little glimpse, a little vision of the fact that everything one day is going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And while the wounds may heal, there will still be scars. But those scars, Lord, are a reminder of how much you love us, how much you care for us, because you have scars on your hands, on your feet, on your brow, on your side. And they simply remind you of your love for us. So, Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. And help us to remember that everything will be all right. Amen. All right, well, thank you so much for being with us. We hope that you will join us this coming Tuesday. We're going to be live on Facebook again, and we're going to have we completed our reading of the little book, little book, Steps to Personal Revival, and we're going to be picking up something else, so I hope that you'll join us 6:30 p.m. this Tuesday. Thank you so much for being here today. From our home to yours, we love you. Happy Sabbath, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.